There's a thousand pretty women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a line of despair. So hero about Vegas.
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. This is Cats with a Dish. I'm John Katsalamidis, writer of the Cats Report in the Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all the titles in Greenspun Media Group, including The Sunday, which comes out on the Sunday, except on those occasions when it comes out on
the Saturday.
And sometimes the Monday, I've learned.
And the Monday.
I wrote a column this past week about interesting column that Oscar Goodman, an interview with Oscar Goodman, talking about an old conversation he had many years ago with Donald Trump, where Donald Trump wanted to develop on what is now Symphony Park, what was then Union Park, where the Ruvokes Clinic mm-hmm. is, and where the Smith Center for the Performing Arts and World Market Center is. They walked that property when it was Union Park, when it was still a contaminated, really, rail yard. And Trump asked him about building Trump Plaza with two towers on that property. And Goodman took it back to the city manager and they were seriously considering that proposition. And Goodman said he wanted something a little bit more distinctive architecturally and more diversity down there. But Donald Trump wanted to build there in like 2000 and – I think it was 2003 –
wow.
And this is a casual conversation. You know how you know people after a while? You kind of get in, you know. I was talking to Oscar Goodman about something completely different on the phone. And I forget how I told him I was going to the Smith Center. And all of a sudden, he started talking about this thing with Trump that nobody had ever known about.
That's
nobody
so
knew
crazy.
About it at the time. Yeah. And I kept asking him, I said, this really are you kidding?
Wow.
And he went through the whole thing. And him and Carolyn Goodman went back to New York to meet with Trump after all this happened a few years later and went into his office. And Trump and Goodman were in a conversation. It was so self-absorbed that they were not talking to each other. They were talking about themselves. Carolyn Goodman came out of that meeting and turned to her husband, Oscar Goodman, and said, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen two egos go at it. Like
wow.
I just saw Carolyn, who's been living with Oscar Goodman for 50
years. I love
years.
That.
Anyway.
He's so cool. They both are. I love
He's a big
I love
fan
Carolyn
of the Wayner,
too.
You know, Oscar?
Yes. Everybody's – and he's a good – Wayne is a big fan back of both the mayors.
He always asks about Wayne.
Oh.
He does.
Sweet.
He always makes sure to ask about you guys.
Love them. Love them. Now, speaking of that area, though, it's now going to be your big debut with – at the Smith Center and playing in the main room. I mean, I don't know. Speaking of egos, is your ego going to get so big that this show is going to be beneath you
please,
now after you're doing
please.
Performances? Please tell everybody about it.
If you've seen me in rehearsal, you know the answer to that. I've been asked and honored to be asked to take part. And this is a stunt casting move by Nevada Ballet Theater. They do, and this has happened across the country in this particular presentation, this production. It's called A Balanchine Celebration, the Best of Ballet, Hollywood, and Broadway. It's going on Saturday night at 7:30 and Sunday at 2 p.m. at Reynolds Hall at the Smith Center. I am involved in the middle segment of this three-piece production, which is Slaughter on 10th Avenue. Okay.
Wow.
And it's a 1936 scene from a 1936 Balanchine musical, or Rodgers and Hart musical, I should say. Anyway, they've adapted it from the musical to the stage for this ballet. I play a speaking role, not a dancing role, a speaking role under the title.
And it's sightless.
under the title of the gangster. I'm a hitman in this. So I come out and I interact with one of the dancers and I'm involved in taking care of the lead dancer, the lead male dancer who's involved in a love triangle with the prima ballerina. Okay. And the lead dancer and the prima ballerina are to be dancing together and I'm supposed to shoot this guy during the performance. And my role.
Does she know you're going to shoot him?
She ends up being told, and there's a note passed on stage, and she passes the note to the guy dancer who's the target, and he all of a sudden he starts elongating his piece, his dancing, so I won't shoot him. You know, he keeps dancing and dancing because there's a point where he points a gun at his own head and is supposed to fire it. And when he does that, I'm supposed to shoot him. Well, he keeps dancing so he doesn't have to get to that point, stalling. So I am eventually, well, taking care of myself. And I have three lines in it on stage in front of the curtain at the beginning of this piece.
Are you using your real voice?
Or no, I'm using a Brooklyn. No. But did you ever see the Seinfeld where they go over the Woody Allen movie that Kramer was cast for?
Yes, I remember this.
These pretzels are making me thirsty. That's his line.
Yes,
remember that? That's how this feels. So I've got three lines and I keep saying them differently all the time. One of them is, right in the theater, huh? That's one of them. I'm supposed to be a Brooklyn guy.
Wow.
Right in the theater, huh? That's one of them. And then he explains more to me, and then I say to him, gotcha, pal. That's my second line.
Nice.
And then as I'm leaving the stage, he explains all this to me, and I'm supposed to shoot this guy in the theater. I wasn't aware of this. And I said, you should have told me. I would have worn my tux. That's my third line.
Wow.
That's
I'm impressed with
see.
All three lines. Is there going to be a Tony in your future, perhaps?
No.
So are you getting
the bug
now? So you're going to
No. I like writing. That's my thing.
Well, I'm going to be there. I'm taking Mama Marilyn to come
Marilyn,
see it.
Marilyn should write a review of this.
It's absolutely best is that my mother said, well, we can go see Kat. You know, Kat's is performing. I said, I'm aware, Mom. And as a matter of fact, it's just, can we get tickets? We're going to get, how much
oh
are
my
tickets?
God, that's right, because Mom reads the
yes,
print
actually,
version, right?
I know. Every day, my mom reads the paper. So from cover to cover, she reads obituaries and she doesn't even know anybody. Like she's one of those old school, does the Sudoku,
yep.
does everything, you know, like.
Yep. She's a newspaper reader.
Yes, she is. Mm-hmm. So she's the one that keeps everybody.
I can always tell when she's read it too, because the print version of the column comes out a couple days after the online sometime, you mm-hmm. know, or after reverse publishes what we call talk about. So when I see her, say, yeah, I saw your article in the paper and you talked about this and that. And I'm like, let me think about this.
Like I've done 10 stories since then online, but that's okay. So yeah, so we're very excited. So I'm going to be, and and I'll make sure that do you get to bow.
Yeah.
So I'll give you a big standing ovation.
I'm in the company the whole way rehearsing.
I'm excited. Go see Cats at the Smith Center. There's still tickets available.
Not the musical, but yeah, at thesmithcenter.org.
Done.
All right. Next, we have our friend Josh Bell, who's going to be reviewing Spectre and the Peanuts movie, and then our guest is the great Travis Kloher, talking about not only Jersey Boys but his upcoming holiday, his new holiday CD, title of which is Christmas at My Place. So stick around. I know we will.
Hey, this is Hal Sparks, and against your better judgment, you're listening to Cats and the Dish.
So, James, why did you come?
I came here to kill you.
And I thought you came here to die.
Well, it's all a matter of perspective.
That's Daniel Craig as James Bond and Christoph Waltz as the villainous Franz Oberhauser in Spectre. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Daniel Craig's possible final outing as secret agent James Bond is so focused on wrapping things up that it strains a bit too hard to tie all four of the Craig-starring Bond movies together, along with bringing back familiar, somewhat campy elements of the Bond franchise. Spectre succeeds mainly as a series of dazzling set pieces connected by a thin plot. I give Spectre 3 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the Peanuts movie, based on the classic characters from Charles M. Schulz's beloved comic strip and the Charlie Brown animated specials.
Hey, gang! Look, there's a new kid moving
in! Big brother, put your stuff together!
Come on, Charlie Brown! Get out of the way!
Ow!
Hey, guys, what did you see? Who is it?
Oh, I think I see a piano!
I hope he loves Beethoven.
Beethoven, Beethoven. Maybe he will appreciate my natural beauty.
I just hope he'll have an open mind about the Great Pumpkin.
This big-screen, computer-animated version is so faithful that it's a bit like watching the Peanuts' greatest hits. The central plot is about hapless kid Charlie Brown trying to win the affections of the mysterious little red-haired girl, but it makes room for plenty of diversions that incorporate almost every well-known Peanuts moment. The biggest problem is that it just doesn't have enough material to justify its feature length. I give the Peanuts movie 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is a member of the cast of Jersey Boys at Paris, Las Vegas, where he alternates the role of Frankie Valli with Graham Fenton, but on different nights. He has also just finished a holiday album, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Christmas being that holiday, the title of the CD is Christmas at My Place, and the man who recorded it is with us now. Welcome back to Cats with the Dish, Travis Kloher.
Hey guys, thanks for having me back.
The soggy Travis Kloher.
It's raining outside today. Holy moly.
Travis covered you ran a 40 in about 4 or 5.
Man, I tell you what, it was a good thing my track days in school came in handy.
Are you
today.
A track guy?
Not really. I just said that.
You seem more like
you
a distance guy than a sprinter.
You realize that we don't believe anything that you say.
I think you're a distance runner.
I just know that I had to run really fast.
Well, you look like a swimmer.
Bit of distance today.
Well, thanks for coming in. I know you're a busy dude and a side project, and you do these great. Your side work off
Jersey Boys. You
always nail it.
Thank you.
I've seen you a number of times over at Cabaret Jazz and doing that stuff.
Yeah,
take it seriously,
it's
and
fun.
You do great.
You know, it keeps the artistic chops.
So what? Let's talk about Christmas at My Place. First of all, what are we going to hear on this album, and how did it all come together?
This album came together. Keith Thompson is my musical director, both in Jersey Boys and at the shows that I've done at Cabaret Jazz.
Yes.
And before we even started doing these holiday shows together, he said that he had a demo that he wanted me to record of a holiday song that he wrote. It's a big band kind of thing.
Right.
So I said, that's cool. And he literally, we talked about doing that for 3 or 4 years, and it just never happened. Mm-hmm. And then he played the song for me one day, and I was like, man, that's a great opening song for any Christmas show. So I asked him if I could do it in my show, and I did, and I love the song, and it got so much great response. So we're like, well, let's make this demo. You know, let's finally do the demo of it. Mm-hmm. And so we did that, and it sounded great. And it was like, you know what? Let's just go ahead and make a whole record since this sounds so cool. Let's do a whole record of this stuff. So that's what we did.
So the name of that song is
Christmas is my favorite.
Is my favorite, and the second listed song on here after Fanfare, but
that's
it's the first full song.
Yeah,
on
correct.
The album.
Yeah.
And Keith is a brilliant guy. We all know that.
He's amazing.
Worked with him for several years with Jersey Boys.
With this record, this Christmas record, he not only did he write the opening song that just is a swinging big band Christmas extravaganza, but he took all these other songs that I brought to him and wrote these arrangements that are just, they're clever, they're lush, they're swinging, they're just beautiful.
You're a big band guy, aren't you?
I am. Yeah. I like the big band sound. I like the orchestra sound. And I approached him about this project. You know, I wanted to do it right. I wanted strings. I wanted horns. I wanted harps and French horns and choirs and all that stuff. I wanted to go big, you know, go big or go home. So that's what we did. You know, we came up with a budget and figured out what it was going to cost to make it. And I took the Kickstarter.
Yeah, tell me about why you did that.
Yeah, I want to hear.
Because I didn't have
curious.
The money to make it. So I was like, well, shoot. You know, I did some research and I saw that there's so many bands, so many indie bands that have, you know, been successfully funded on Kickstarter to do their projects. So I was like, you know, I'll give it a shot. And a lot of people believed in me. They believed in this project and they donated and we raised 30 grand in 45 days.
Wow.
Yeah. And now we have an end product of a fully orchestrated, brand new Christmas record.
So what are the people who, you have varying levels of engagement with the people who donate on Kickstarter, right?
Yeah,
like if you donate a couple hundred dollars, you get a certain thing.
You know, I took any money anybody wanted to give me, but the official reward
started. You're welcome for my 39 cents. That
yay!
and you get.
You can hear that 39 cents very much.
Is it like a jingling?
Song.
Well, he's giving us 39 cents. Sleigh bells or something?
He's giving us 39 cents.
You pay for the sleigh bells.
Exactly.
No, rewards varied from, you know, $10 got a virtual hug from me, which is basically a shout out on social media, that kind of thing. All the way up to, I think my biggest donor was $5,000.
Welcome. No, I'm kidding.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Trish. And for that, she got to sit in the studio while we made the record. She got listed in the...
Who was this person?
A very good family friend of ours named Penny Zervos. Penny Zervos. She's a Greek lady.
Penny's from heaven,
that's right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, she's part of your peoples.
Yeah, that's right. Right. That's right. Mm-hmm. And she's actually, her and her mother, with that money, also got listed as associate producers in the album credits.
Cool.
So, yeah.
So, now, I always have this sort of, because when you were on before, we've talked about the vocal challenges with performing Frankie Valli these nights, that and for the many years that you've done that, because you are, I mean, because you are giving this one sound so many nights a week, is it hard to not kind of slip back into Frankie Valli voice when
you're
doing
these other things? Yeah, it is. You know, there's sometimes where, you know, we were in the studio and I'd listen back to what we did and I was like, oh man, that's too much Frankie coming out. You know, I want to bring me to this project because this is, you know, a solo thing that I'm doing as an individual. So we'd go back a couple times and redo some stuff. But there is one song on there that I wrote called Baby It's Cold Under the Mistletoe that kind of has a little doo-wop, a little Frankie Valli sound in it, some falsetto stuff. So I still love it, so I threw it in.
Christmas, it's, wait, what was the title?
Number five, Baby It's Cold.
Oh, Baby It's Cold Under the Mistletoe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's, it was the original tune that I wrote. I wanted to throw in a bunch of other Christmas images and song titles and stuff without having to do, you know, a 40 track Christmas record. So there's a lot of fun imagery and song title hints throughout that song. And it's a really swinging big band new Christmas standard.
Who plays with you on the...
Man, there's on the record.
Yeah,
yeah. There's a lot of the horns from Jersey Boys.
Okay.
Are there the guys that play with Fat City as well?
T-Wall,
Danny Falcone, Nathan Tannoy.
Okay. Oh, you got the all-stars.
Yeah, right. We did. Kevin Stout, all those guys. And we started with, we had a 5 or 6 horn section, depending on different songs. We had a string quartet. We had a harp. We had sleigh bells. We did it right, man. It's fun. Yeah.
Where did you record it?
We recorded it just right down the street here at UNLV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
With Chuck Foley behind the board.
Okay.
And Gil Kalp doing the mastering. So.
Yeah. Gil is also a player.
That's right. Yeah.
He's in. Is he in Jersey Boys? No, he's in Santa Fe. But
Showstoppers.
Showstoppers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I just saw this week. The CD's out now, right?
It is. It was released officially yesterday.
And where can people pick it up?
They can get it online anywhere at iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, streaming on Spotify. If you want hard copies, you can get those at cdbaby.com. Just go there and search my name. Or you can just go to my website, travisclore.com, and it has all the links to everything that you need to pick up your copy.
And there's a release party coming up.
There is, Monday night, November 9th, at the Foundation Room.
Okay.
Yeah.
6 to 9 p.m.
6 to 9 p.m. And it's free, open to the public, but we will be taking donations to help a great cause, Help of Southern Nevada.
Right on.
All the proceeds from that are going to help those guys.
And you'll be selling the CD there?
The CD will be available for donation. We're going to have raffle tickets for different shows on the Strip, a bunch of different prizes. One of the grand raffle prize is my attorney, David Bindrup, is giving away a free estate living trust planning package with a value of $2,000.
I've never heard of.
Yeah.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, just a living will. It's got all that stuff in it. So anything you need to take care of your estate.
He's
got to
do it on the spot, though.
I don't know if he's going to do that right on the spot, but.
It'd be part of the opening act.
Yeah, totally.
That makes me a little nervous that something's going to happen to me all of a sudden as soon as
Well,
I
you
got to
be prepared, though. You got to be prepared.
That's right. My dogs really need to.
Hey, my dogs are in my will. They have somewhere to go if something were to happen. So
they're accounted for.
That's right.
And he probably set that up.
He did.
He did.
Yeah.
He did it all.
Now, but it's a $2,000 package. He's just donating, and it's going to be fun.
Right.
Now, in terms of, I remember in the past talking to people that have done their own projects because it's very specific in terms of when you perform. So, in other words, let's say that you're doing, obviously, you're going to be doing, you do songs from this album.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you cannot sing any Jersey Boys songs,
correct?
While you're there, while you're, so it's kind of, they're supportive of you doing your own thing as long as you don't mix the two, correct?
Yeah. I mean, we can sing any, you know, we're available to sing any of the Four Seasons stuff that's not in Jersey Boys. You know, exactly. If they want to see us sing that stuff, you know, pay for a ticket to Jersey Boys and come and see us sing it.
I know exactly.
I don't know what that song list is.
There's all kinds of stuff, man. There's
really?
All kinds of, yeah.
God, Jersey Boys has a song list about
35
songs.
There's actually, in the Playbill in New York for Jersey Boys, there's a whole page of songs that didn't make the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they familiar?
Hits? Candy Girl.
Oh, well, there you
Marlena,
go.
All these great tunes that didn't make it. So,
all right. Well, yeah there's a whole area of research for you there.
In the in my Christmas show last year, I did a version of Santa Baby a la Frankie Valli.
Are you going to do another? Oh, cool. Are you going to do another show at Smith Center?
Yeah,
this
I am.
Year?
December 7th.
Okay.
Two shows this year, 6:30 and 8:30 p.m.
Now, cool. Is it going to be mainly the holiday stuff or a mixture
of
everything?
It is going to be this holiday record live in concert as well as some other holiday hits. I keep it all complete holiday. The show's called Christmas at My Place, same name, and we're going to bring back a bunch of special guests and just have a big Christmas party.
Who's committed to this?
My buddy Frank Amorino has said that he wants to be involved again. Mark Chinook wants to be involved.
Wow.
Nikki Scalera is going to be involved.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Yeah, and some of the girls from Jersey Boys that have performed with me on the record are going to come back and
that's
do...
That's a heck of a lineup.
Yeah,
it's
fun, man.
Wow, that's
great.
A lot. Each
and what's
of those
cool
people
is,
could sell tickets.
Yeah, and what's cool is if people come to the CD release party on Monday, they're going to get a discount code to save 15% off tickets to the actual show on December 7th.
You're pretty excited about this, aren't you?
Man, listen, I've been living and breathing this record since last Christmas, so it's been Christmas
so
all year long.
What time of year did you record it?
We started, I raised the money, we came up, let me backtrack. In January, we laid down the demo of Christmas is My Favorite. Then we came up with the idea to continue and do a full record. In April, I launched my Kickstarter campaign. In May, we started going through arrangements and song ideas. And then in July, we hit the studio and
nothing says
now.
Christmas like July in Vegas.
We listen, we were recording this stuff when it was like 100,000 degrees
exactly.
outside. You know, walking to the studio, you're just drenched from sweat, and then you get into the studio. It's like, okay, jingle bells, jingle bells.
Did it, is it? Yeah. I've always wondered because all these CDs that are holiday CDs are recorded during the summer.
Yeah, they
are.
Gotta be. I
mean, but does that,
know?
Does that. Well, affect this, how you sing these songs?
No, because I try to make it fun in the studio when we did this. I had a little Christmas tree that I brought in. It was kind of like our mascot at the studio, and it stayed there the whole time with twinkle lights and everything.
Oh, nice.
I brought in, you know, scented candles to give us that holiday feel. And
cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Let me ask you a little bit about the show for which you are best known, Jersey Boys. You
yes,
guys
sir.
Recently went to a six-night-a-week
we
schedule.
Did.
That
yeah.
was in the spring, I think, right?
Yeah.
Now, talk about how that's affected your the viability of the show when a show consolidates like that. It's
yeah.
to improve each night's house. How's,
well,
how's it doing?
It's, you know, whenever you get news like that, your first inclination is like, oh, my gosh, we're cutting shows. That means, you know, we're going to be out of a job soon. But... this show, it's got such strong legs, man. You know, ever since we did that, all of our shows that we've been packed. So it's ended up being a good thing. It's hurt, you know, the old paycheck, but you know,
yeah, you guys have to accommodate.
Yeah, we took a little bit of cut, you know, to accommodate the loss of the shows, but our audience have been packed since. You know, and it's great because the energy in the show now, because it's packed, is just through the roof.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you do to keep it fresh? You've been doing this for a long time now.
I've been doing it for almost, February will be 9 years for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I was with it for about a year and a half on Broadway, and then we moved out here in 2008, and we've been out here ever since. It's interesting. A lot of people have different ways. One thing that I try to do to keep it fresh is, you know, when you find yourself drifting, is to just kind of check in and just really listen to the other actors, because
mm-hmm.
that's what's going to bring you back to the moment and keep you where you need to be instead of, you know, thinking about what you're going to be doing
and
after the show.
And you've had relatively recently some cast changes in the show.
Oh, yeah. Last November, we lost two of the four, and we've replaced them. Since then, we've gone through probably... three or four different cast members, not of the four seasons, but mm-hmm. in the ensemble. And it's cool, man, because everybody that comes in is just so
brings
great.
Different energy.
Yeah, they bring
too,
a different
yeah.
energy, so that alone kind of keeps it fresh. You know, you've got new faces and a new vibe. So, mm-hmm.
Well, you guys, the four of you were together for so many years,
yeah.
pretty much. That it was the same four guys.
Yeah,
that
is. It was.
I guess it's exciting, obviously, with the new blood in that.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys were such a cohesive team,
mm-hmm.
in that. Was it a little strange
yeah.
trying to get the rhythm with other people?
It was. You know, it started out. You know, you kind of felt like you were, you know, having an affair. You know what I mean?
You were cheating.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of felt that
good
way.
Good for the ballet character.
Yeah, but you know that's this business. You know, people come and go, and
yeah.
that's just how it is. And you have to adapt, and you have to keep doing what your job is.
Yeah, it's art as franchise.
Yeah,
you know that's. I mean, you have
yeah,
a whole
totally.
Alumni list of.
Yeah, I mean,
Jersey Boys
is celebrating its 10th anniversary this weekend in
incredible.
New York.
Incredible!
Wow.
So yeah.
Yeah.
And
incredible.
I mean, the it's such a vocal, as we said earlier, it's such a vocally challenging, probably one of the most vocally challenging roles that you can have.
Oh yeah. It's tough.
And I mean, you even had a famous thing happen to you with your vocal cords during
yeah.
the show
yeah.
a few years back, and,
yeah.
and you took a little bit of time to
yeah.
heal. Do you ever get nervous about that could happen again? I mean,
every now and then that little demon creeps back mm-hmm. in, you know, and it's there in the back of my mind quite a bit, but I do my best to just rely on my training and rely on trying to stay healthy and eating correct and getting exercise and just thinking about the good things that I enjoy about singing as opposed to thinking about the bad things that
mm-hmm.
have happened
mm-hmm.
to me, you know, really keeps my mind fresh and in the state that it needs to be in.
For those that don't remember, something, it was a burst vocal cord or something that happened? What was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I ruptured a blood vessel in my vocal cord.
During the show.
Mm. And
that still is the most frightening thing to hear.
It's weird. It sounds a lot more painful than it is, but there's no nerve endings on your vocal cord, so I didn't even feel it. It's just all of a sudden, you know, you have this little pool of blood that just sits in the folds of your vocal cords, and they don't hit together correctly, so it sounds like you don't have any voice.
Mm-hmm. So. Donny Osmond had this happen to him. Yeah. I saw he showed me. I was at his fundraising run. He does a Danny Gans run. A few weeks ago, and he showed me the on his cat on his phone. His
I can show you mine too. It's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Wow. This is turning into visuals.
Not only sounds bad, but it.
He's
it
talking
looks
about
bad.
Vocal cords.
Yeah.
it was horrible. Yeah. It was really. Tough
it's not
to look
fun,
at.
Man. It's you know the singer's worst nightmare, but.
But you're fine now. I mean, this was a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, this was when we were still at Palazzo.
Oh, okay.
So this was, you know, we're going on 4 years since that happened.
With the new schedule and you and the way you and Graham are used, is it a given that you're going to have two performers in that role? I remember when Phantom drew their schedule down, they went with just the one. Is there talk about...
we have never been approached about it. Since they started talking about the six-show schedule, it's always been... You know, you guys are still going to be splitting at 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's best. You know, it keeps us both in work, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
it keeps the show as strong and as healthy as it can be by giving the two lead guys that are singing, you know, their faces off some time to recoup.
Right. Yeah, I was going to. Yeah, you know? I don't know how someone could do that ever. Is that the way it is in pretty much every show? Like
no,
on Broadway?
Every other company has a guy that does six performances and then and a guy that does two performances.
Okay, so you have a swing, in other words, like most shows.
Yeah.
Right. So how long are you contracted through in the show?
Our contracts usually, the principal contracts usually last a year. I just signed up again a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. So you have signed.
So I'm here for
there
a while.
There you go. I was wondering because I know that November rolls around.
Oh, that's man. It's funny
because...
You
start looking at Jersey Boys. That's
you sign up your contract in the first 6 months. You're like, all right, we've got another year. And then as the time starts ticking, you're like, oh, man, are they going to sign me again? Are they going to sign me again? So it's always a relief once we get that call.
Yeah, did you ever imagine you'd be in Las Vegas for this duration
never,
of time?
Never.
I mean, what was your thought when you came into this role about the city?
I knew that I wanted to do the role, so when they offered it to me here in Las Vegas, I jumped on it. And I've spent a good bit of time in Las Vegas before, never professionally, but with some friends and family and stuff. And I was excited to come here, you know. I wasn't really sure what it was going to offer me as far as any career outside of Jersey Boys. But the things that it's offered me as a solo artist have just been beyond my expectations. It's allowed me to do, you know, my performances at the Smith Center. It's allowed me to make this great Christmas record and to sing with the Philharmonic. You
yeah,
know,
you've got those musicians in your show and around your
show.
You've got Keith Thompson.
Keith
Thompson is world. They're starting hanging around. I mean,
that's one of my favorite things about Las Vegas is it's this community, this entertainment community is so, so small. It's so small, and everybody is so supportive. If anybody knows of anything going on, you know, that needs a crowd, the entertainment crowd is there to fill
Isn't
seats.
Isn't it funny? That is the truth.
They're there to support you and to lift you up because they want you to be the best you can be because they know that you're going to be there for them when they need to be the best they can
it's
be.
It's very tight. I don't think people realize how tight this can be.
It's a very tight, small community.
It can happen in just a series of texts in a very short frame.
Oh, yeah. You should see my phone about sending out invites for this release party. I'm sending that little graphic that you're looking at right there to everybody that I know.
You'll get a crowd.
Yeah. I hope so.
Well, we want to once more talk about where you can get the CD and where the release party is one more time before we wrap up.
Travis. The release party is this Monday, November 9th at the Foundation Room from 6 to 9 p.m. It's just going to be a big old holiday party. Come on
Mandalay
out.
Bay upstairs.
Mandalay Bay, benefiting Help of Southern Nevada. There's going to be donations, raffles, a cash bar. You can get the CD there at that. And if you come to the CD release party, you can get a discount code for tickets to the holiday show on December 7th at Cabaret Jazz.
At the Cabaret Jazz at the Smith Center.
That's right.
And you can find the CD where again?
You can get the CD online at all your major digital outlets, iTunes, Google Play, Amazon. Hard copies can be picked up at cdbaby.com, or you can just go to my website, travisclore.com, and all the information that you need is right there.
We got to wrap it here. Travis Clore, the CD's called Christmas at My Place Through the Holidays, December 7th at Cabaret Jazz, Monday at Mandalay Bay. We'll have you on again, my friend.
Thanks, guys.